housing discussion, affordable housing. Randy or Brad or both or whatever. Oh, Alexis, sorry. Yeah, are you here, like, Alexis? Sorry. You've been quiet for so long. No, go ahead.
I'm here. So we have the draft done, and I provided it to Brad and Brandy to review, and I've incorporated their feedback. Did you guys just want to say your overall thoughts on the chapter? Do you think it captures everything that was discussed?
Yeah, I think we were really pleased with the draft and saw that it really incorporated everything that we had discussed here. And you all were so receptive to all the ideas and the goals and objectives. And I think that they're really well captured here in the narrative, as well as all of the data that was used. So we really didn't have very much to add or modify from our comments perspective. But I look forward to answering questions or helping.
So today we can take any feedback from the commission. I did talk to Mike Costello because there is a small section here about property maintenance, and he did have some questions and some concerns about some of the ideas in there that were raised through goals, objectives, and strategies from the public, which are things he's not currently doing, but he would, you know, potentially do in the future based on the goals, objectives, and strategies. So we could talk about those questions from Mike Costello. They're not reflected in the draft that you have, any changes to that language yet. So I guess we can start with any questions or comments from the commission on the chapter as a whole.
Anyone? Kim?
Good start. Start without me. Go ahead.
No, I really don't myself. I read this very quickly last night because it came in late yesterday. But in my first read, I was happy with what I was reading. So nothing jumped out at me in that read that gave me pause. What are you have any comments, Bob? Or?
No, I was just bringing it up on my phone here because I read it last night rather late also.
Do you want to go into Mr. Costello's concerns?
Yeah, so his were just focused on the property maintenance section, which is section 9.3.2 on page 11. So most of the chapter really focuses on what Brad and Brandy's group does through the home repairs and the different grant program funding that they use and some of the other outreach that they do. But there, you know, there is a piece that the constable's office does, which we talked about with this commission at those housing meetings when Mike was here too. And there were several strategies proposed by the public actually that were incorporated through goals, objectives, and strategies, but in reading this, Mike was still questioning those ideas and saying they are currently outside of the limits of what they do in the constable's office, so it would take some changes to their current procedures and their current, their current initiatives and what they do to be able to do these new things that, we're proposing. And Brandy replied, because he included Brandy in the email, and she replied and said, yes, it's a comp plan where we are proposing things above and beyond to address issues that come up routinely. So for one thing he brought up was it's page 12, having to do with the paragraph that starts, while the rental unit complaint program is designed to assist tenants. So they have that rental unit complaint program, which we talked about with this group at the workshop. And basically, that's where tenants in rental housing can report substandard rental housing conditions. So the county only goes out and responds if they get a complaint. And there was an idea from the public, well, could the county do something to assist landlords to improve the housing before it becomes substandard? Because it's more, right now, what they do is reactive. So the idea from the public was to do something more proactive. And Mike Costello's concern was, well, we don't do that now, but this whole comp plan is talking about things that you would like to do in the future.
So the biggest issue is how do they find out about them first, right? And that is maybe the gap, because if you found out about them soon enough, then the rest becomes a lot easier. So I guess, do we have something in the strategies to try to at least explore ways to to help better communicate with the tenants?
We have this up here. There's a strategy in the paragraph above. We talk about the complaint process and how it's not many tenants are aware of it, so they would do more outreach to make people more aware that they could report their issues on property living.
And we have a strategy to address
We have a strategy to better promote that, because it is relatively new and not a lot of people know about it yet. So there's that strategy to help get the word out.
About the landlords, we definitely have to educate tenants and residents about the existing complaint program. But the other piece, which is the landlords and sort of giving them the resources they need to upgrade properties, as Alexis said, you know, we are more of a, you know, reactive versus proactive body. So the other thing that would have to be created is some sort of fund or resource that would provide that resource to the landlords, because right now all of our federal grants and even the county grants that we use for rehab are all for owner-occupied properties. So landlords, mm-hmm. even if they rent to low-income tenants, can't make use of our program. So it's unfortunate, because there's a lot of them that are, you know, really trying to do good work by offering, you know, housing units to low and moderate-income families, but they themselves also don't have the resources to maintain them. Necessarily to what condition they should be in. So I think that was also part of that, is how do we tackle that? Where do we get the funding from? There used to be a loan product through Delaware State Housing Authority. They ended that about 5 or 6 years ago. So that's sort of, I guess, along those lines. What can we use? What can we get to these landlords to help them maintain their properties better? So that was just kind of the little, not sure how, though.
How about a revolving loan fund? County could take $1 million, put it out there as a revolving loan fund for short term.
I wonder if that's something like SCORE would take on. The Sussex County Association of Realtors.
Maybe.
That would be something, you know, that could be a, we could, that they would, you know, just trying to think of ways that it doesn't have to be yet another.
We've been working with Delaware State Housing Authority to actually bring that part of the program back. Mm-hmm. It was in existence for probably 15, 20 years before they took it out, and it was basically a 3%. It was from the state revolving fund,
right.
And low income or medium income homeowners and rent and landlords could borrow from it at 3%. It was very effective for the landlord side.
Was it used?
I mean, did...
Yes, it was used quite a bit. I don't know if you're familiar with Shockley Town. And that whole area was rebuilt using those funds. I think they had some difficulty with it, but I think it was more on the homeowner side than the landlord side. The landlords were typically businessmen, and they knew what they wanted to do. Where homeowners, it was just kind of a remodeling type of program for them.
What was the term on those loans, typically?
You could borrow them. You could borrow, I think it was up to... For a rental property, you could borrow up to $25,000, the terms from 2 to 15 years, and I think the interest rate was 3%. So it kind of worked out to about $7 for, if you took it out for the 10-year term, it was like $7 per month per thousand that you borrow.
Right.
So you could borrow $5,000 and your payments would be $35 a month, which is more affordable. And I think some of the things you're talking about are kind of covered up. I was kind of looking forward. They will kind of be covered as far as the landlord and the constable things in the final chapter of this chapter. Thank you.
So that, like I said, that's just one of his concerns. But it's not something they currently do. It would be something they would look into doing in the future. And
sure.
I mean, that's what this whole plan
is.
That's the whole plan. So we're educating him on that.
I would like to suggest that as a strategy.
To keep it.
Because it properly administered, the risk of the county would not be too great. I mean, unless they have a loss, they're going to get their money back anyway, and then the money can be relent as it's paid back. It may not be able to be as grand as what was available from the state, but certainly would be something that we could offer to our landlords. Because to me, the key is to get to the housing before it gets to the point that the tenant has to call the the county and complain.
Yeah, and that's really where this stems from.
You know, that's I think to me that would be a far more effective and a responsible thing for us to do.
Do we have any language, Alexis, that I think we have a strategy regarding making multifamily housing a permitted use in the different residential districts. Is that correct? Do we have a strategy?
Yeah, it's either,
I think we
is
do.
Is it here or is it? It might be in future land use. Is it here?
I thought we had
maybe
it in here
was
because
one that
of
it. Was in both, maybe?
I think it may have been, but if it's not, it probably is appropriate to have it in this section as well. And maybe
here it is. It's on page 17.
Yeah. Okay.
The county may consider revisiting zoning code to determine in districts where multifamily housing is currently in conditional use if it should be made a permitted use if water and sewer are available.
And then is there some language just to support that within the narrative anywhere?
That is that's the narrative.
That is the narrative.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And then there's the strategy that goes with it.
Just so that, because I agree with what Mr. Ross said, but I'm thinking about, again, the people who will read it and the conclusions they may jump to. Would it be worth adding a phrase, something along the lines of at the densities permitted in the districts? Because unfortunately, people, I think, hear multifamily housing and they equate that to increased density. And I don't think that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the same. I mean, you can go for bonus density or whatever, but it's the same density as that's permitted, just the housing type.
Yeah, that's all it is. And what we're seeing in applications, as we're seeing developers desiring to mix housing. They want a little bit of multifamily, condominium type stuff. They also want some single family because that kind of a community seems to be able to sell. They have a broader market to sell to, and there's no objections by the people that want those variety of housing. The kicker is, of course, is those densities, allowing it to just match the density, no bonus densities or anything like that, no increase in density for it. Which can bring the price of the house down for people in the middle to lower incomes.
Because I just think certain people, whether it's on council or in the public, will just see multifamily and they're going to think, you know, in their mind envision, you know, a condominium at 6 units an acre. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the type of housing within the permitted density already. That's why I was saying if you could
add a
phrase.
Okay, so I'll clarify that with a phrase.
But is that another place that we could look at higher densities, again, what like we just talked about in the mobility element of directed high density in specific areas if they have, you know, if it's near a business, if it, you know, where people could be working, if it's near shopping so that people, so it's just all close. So again, it's in an area.
So I just have an idea because right now in MR, multifamily is a conditional use, and you can ask for up to 12 units to an acre. So if you leave the base density as 4, if you allow multifamily by 4 units by right, and then if you want in those certain dense locations to go over 4, that could be the conditional use, maybe.
That's what you were talking about, right?
Well, we were talking about keeping all districts at the base density by right and then letting them buy up so that the zoning decisions were meaningful. You were really trying to chain zone based on, is it appropriate to have MR in an area? This is what you're referring to, Kim, and all. But they would buy up whatever densities reach that zoning up to that cap. You're always going to have spatial restraints. And this would enable developers to actually offer maybe an average of 3 units to the acre or something, not real high densities, but offer multifamily housing. Beyond that, it's an ordinance type thing of whether you give discounts on those purchase of densities to encourage affordable housing or not, but that's a discussion of, you know, you got to get through this hoop before you go there. But there's opportunities to actually discount the purchase of the density for people offering affordable housing as defined, you know, in the code. That's a whole separate issue to be forthcoming if we get through this first hoop.
So before we talk about that, if we add Vince's clarification, is that okay, or did Janelle, do you think we need to take it another step?
I think if we leave it broad,
okay,
because then we have that opportunity to change the code to whatever the commission and council would like.
Okay, so then let me go back up to the other questions from Mr. Costello.
Bless you.
All right. So he questioned about the campgrounds. So we talked about considering an ordinance for campgrounds, because there's been instances where seasonal campgrounds have become locations of permanent housing with people living in substandard conditions. And like I mentioned, back to page 12.
Okay.
And I know this came from somewhere. Janelle, do you know the backstory on what's being looked for with this? Because Mike was questioning this one too. And I know you sent me some text that this is handled through planning and zoning in the zoning code, so I did add that.
Right, because currently any new campground has to go through a conditional use process, and there cannot be any permanent structures, mm-hmm. residential structures, except for one on site. Now, we've had some campgrounds, you know, that have turned into more of an year-round type of living facility, and I think Brandy has something to say about this one.
Well, I think that's where this came from, is there's one community in particular that we've worked with, Delmarva Campground, that's outside of Seaford, that was originally just a campground like Harry's Camp that's used for just a couple of weeks in the summertime, and those folks have turned the cottages into permanent residence where they live year-round. A lot of them don't have proper plumbing or septic systems or water or anything, and so they've sought help from various agencies, but it becomes a very difficult thing to help them when they don't have proper ownership. They only have stock certificates, and so we've worked with some nonprofits to help try to clarify that ownership and the deeds, and Vince has been involved, and it's really tricky. And so that's just where that discussion really kind of originated from, is how do we help them, and how they're sort of classified under the zoning code.
Yeah, because we recognize there's a situation. Anything going forward, we have a solution for. It's how to address some of the situations that have occurred over the last 40 years mm-hmm. and beyond.
What was Mike Costello, I guess, whoever, what was his concern? What was his?
He wasn't sure how it fit in with what he does and whose purview it was. So it really is Janelle's.
It falls into planning and zoning.
I never looked at this being a Mike Costello element. I mean,
there's some elements of his office that.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's how we're trying to incorporate
it.
Section is property maintenance substandard housing, yeah. So it kind of fit better there than home repairs or homelessness or something that didn't
but
really fit.
But not everything's
going
to fall into his.
Yeah, so that's. I think he was interpreting this as this was all his. So I didn't clarify that a little bit. That some is Janelle's, some is his. But if you're okay with leaving the strategy about looking back at the code to see what can be done about campgrounds and clarifying that it's through Janelle's office, that's how we'll handle that.
I don't even know that you need to clarify whose office in the plan, really.
I did, just because Mike was questioning it.
Yeah, because Mr. Concello had some concerns about, well, it's not really his, and it's like, you know, it actually falls in the planning and zoning. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah. Sounds like maybe he's a little into the weeds more than.
Yeah, I think I think it's his first comp plan, so, you know, he was thinking about the title of the section and not realizing that it's. But, you know, I mean, I'm good either way.
Yeah, so Janelle, I just added a sentence at the end.
The last line that.
Yeah, this would fall under the purview of the Planning and Zoning Department and Zoning Code.
Yeah, because then we'd work with Brandy and the Constable's Office and others to try to resolve the situations.
So. Right, and then just to, you know, to Mike's concerns at the beginning here, I clarified that both offices, your office and his office, play a role in housing, that they do enforcement of code with investigating public complaints to property maintenance, and then he wanted to clarify that your office does the inspections and referring cases to them. So he wanted to clarify that. I added that. Probably don't have that in your draft. But.
Yeah, and now Brandy's going to hate me. He's like, Brandy, do we want something about, and Brad as well, about community development having a role? Or do you guys really want that?
The rest of the chapter is about you guys. Yeah. This is like, this is your paragraph.
Thanks.
That's why I got into why we should even talk about who's.
I think it was just for
it was just for Mike. He was concerned it looked like it was his. So okay, if you're okay with it that way, then. And Marty, you're okay with the campground discussion as is? Okay. And then this final thing had to do with the conversation we had about ownership structure and then the mechanics liens. So he just wanted to clarify that isn't his office again. That would be Brad and Brandy. So I'll move this and find a place somewhere in one of Brad and Brandy's sections to put it.
Cool. Maybe in the for the first sentence, it's these items can fall under a multitude of different offices for, instead of saying it's planning and zoning or the constable's office, is that say there are multiple county departments that will that handle these situations. And that's a broader way to address that than going mine, not mine, mine, yours.
Because I also look at it, again, 10 years down the road, too.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how we're going to reorganize things here, okay. You know? I don't want to get it locked in so much. Because we've actually talked about consolidating some offices, too. So
yeah, you know, so that could change different things, so okay. We don't have to change it.
Okay, that was the last question from Mike Costello. Brad and Brandy gave me some comments, which I've incorporated. I think you guys saw all of those. So were there any specific other comments from the Planning and Zoning Commission on the chapter?
According to my right, no. You guys okay? You guys? You okay, Vince?
Yeah.
I think overall, I said this when we had this element originally, that it was the best presented element by the community and the public of any element that we had discussed at that point, and I still think it is to date. This is very, very well written, in my opinion.
Thank you.
And I don't really know why we need to delay. If there's someone that would like to make a motion that we post this as a draft, I'm ready.
Subject to those changes.
The changes we talked about.
A few minor edits.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
Yeah, second. We, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Anything
else? I thought you were done. Go ahead.
You anxious? No. We have a motion and a second to post the housing element as a draft on the website. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And yes, Alexa?
I was just going to say that I think some of the members of the public are anxious to see it too. So, you know, we did our best to definitely incorporate all the suggestions that came from the public, and Brad and Brandy definitely helped me out in weeding through everything. And we have tons of goals, objectives, and we've woven them into the text. So hopefully the public will be happy with it too.
Well, for those of you, I see your faces that contributed. Congratulations. It was a job well done, in my opinion. Thank you for your effort.
I want to fix the adorable housing.
Where? What?
More, the county has 2 voluntary inclusionary zoning programs used to promote more adorable housing. I mean, I think that could help with, you know, overall.
The adorable.
Okay.
Okay, we have
proposals of adorable housing.
Like tiny houses.
Yeah. That's in there.
That's in there. What is adorable?
Adorable.
Are you ready to, you want to move
all
on?
Right.
Or
so we will make these edits and get it posted to the website.
Perfect deal.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
you.
I guess we're going to go on to continue work on the future land use?
Sure.